You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Bud Anderson Home Services. Every Monday through Friday during the Razorbacks football training camp, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
Day two of the Razorbacks' morning practices is over on Thursday. The Razorbacks will go through one more morning practice on Friday before their second scrimmage of the preseason. Matt Jones joined today by Clay Henry, the publisher of Hogs Illustrated, and Scotty Bordelon of WholeHogSports.com. Scotty just got off the practice field a little bit ago. Also got finished talking with Barry Odom, the only time that I think we'll get the chance to talk to Barry Odom before the season. We'll share some insights from that news conference. But Scotty, let's start with this. One of the things that happened during the scrimmage last week is that, you know, Sam Pittman said that as a whole, his quarterbacks were not particularly sharp during that scrimmage. What have you seen in practice this week since that scrimmage? Have they been more accurate?
Yeah, I think there just needs to be more. I mean, you got to get more work in, you know, in terms of quarterbacks hitting guys, you know, precisely, you know, when they're breaking out of the routes, you know, you got to put the ball where it needs to be. And I remember yesterday, I think about the only completed pass that I saw was, it may have been Lucas Coley completed to Keetron Jackson for a couple short gains. And Keetron Jackson's a guy that you want to get the ball to him where he can make something happen after the catch. But both of the grabs that he had yesterday were low. He went down to get them, so props to him for catching them, but he just, you know, he's not in a position to make anything happen afterward. And you almost, if you're a quarterback and you're not getting a guy like that the ball in space, you're basically turning him into a possession receiver, and that's not what he is. So I think, you know, precision, accuracy could stand some improvement, obviously. I saw KJ Jefferson today. He was incomplete on all three of his attempts. He was high to Jaquelin Crawford. Also targeted Crawford on a deep ball that Simeon Blair broke up. I thought it was a pretty good play by Blair. But again, that was, you know, that deep ball, there were two guys that were with Jaquelin Crawford. So you're kind of throwing in a double coverage there, which is not great. And then KJ also targeted Davion Warren on a slant that sailed way over his head. Hornsby was okay. He completed, I think, one out of three passes, but the pass that he did complete was a little swing pass to Bryce Stevens, and Hudson Clark blew it up. Bryce Stevens might have had to come out if that was a live scrimmage setting. So I think it's just, you know, putting your guys in positions to, you know, utilize, you know, the talents they have. And I think that just comes down to accuracy and you know, just being a little bit more precise.
Clay, how much do you think we can take out of these open portions of scrimmage when it comes to quarterbacks?
Well, I think, first of all, you're seeing the very start of the practice, and hopefully, you know, they'll loosen up and things will, you know, maybe they're a little tight coming out. Of course, that's, you know, you like to start fast in games too. You know, I think that's what they call it, their fastball start, right? It's the whole idea of that. So I think it's, you know, it's not great. But I think it also reflects that we've only got a 15-minute snapshot, and that's unfortunate. That's the way it is. You know, as you mentioned earlier, Matt, you know, Sam said, you know, he'd seen KJ worse. He'd seen him better. He said he just said average. You know, I don't think average is really where you want your quarterback to be. So, but it's early in camp, and I will say that I think that defenses are usually ahead at this part in camp. And very few times in the 40 years that I've been covering football practices have you seen offenses click early in camp. There's just a lot of things going on, and usually the defense can put things together a lot faster than the offense. I tend to believe that they will, you know, they'll get some polish and some sharpness. And for all we know, it's been better than that as the practices have gone on. But only thing we know is that 15 minutes, it hasn't been wonderful.
Yeah. I just don't think it's fair to judge the quarterbacks to this point in camp, just based on, you know, those four plays that we get to see them run. Like, that is literally just you know, maybe a minute or a minute and a half of the 2 hour workout that we're getting to see. And I mean, they're making more throws and they're probably, you know, Treylon Burks and Trey Knox aren't out there for KJ Jefferson. And those are two guys that, you know, he's going to rely on. Those are reliable targets, sure-handed guys. And they're not running with them most days. Cause you know, I think they're trying to be careful and, you know, protect the top two targets he's got. And it's just not fair to just say that this is what the quarterbacks look like as a whole. Like that's just a very, very small glimpse into what's going on.
Yeah. I'll add one more thing. And this is, I love to use analogies from other sports, golf. And I just know when I go to the driving range, those first four aren't very good.
That so, is basically what this is. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
I mentioned we got our first chance to hear from Barry Odom today. Scotty, what were some of your takeaways from what he said? And here in just a minute, we'll play some highlights.
Yeah, I think Barry, you know, he's safety's guy. I think he likes what he's got at safety. Obviously, with Jalen Catalon, you know, it was interesting. He got asked about Jalen Catalon and, you know, the year that he had last year. And him, I think Jalen and Barry are both like, Jalen, you've got to have a better year this year than you did last year. And that's saying a lot because Jalen was terrific. I mean, aside from, you know, being disqualified from a couple games for, you know, maybe being a little bit too aggressive or being on the wrong end of a subjective call on replay, but he had a great year. But he knows both of those guys just have said that, you know, they've got to be better. I think the depth at safety is really good. Like Malik Chavis is a long rangy kid and he's probably looking like Catalon's backup, especially when the defense goes to a three front and you get six DBs out there. And Joe Fouché and Jaden Johnson, those are two more guys at another one of the safety spots. Joe Fouché and Simeon Blair were really, really hyping up Jaden Johnson. I mean, he's 6'3", all 215, 220. Like he's a presence out there when Fouché can't be there. And Simeon Blair is a guy that he had a really good spring. Haven't really heard just a whole lot of him or from him in camp, but he's, you know, he's running with the first team when they go to a three down look, and then he's backing up. I think it's Joe Fouché when they go to a four man front. And then Trent Gordon's a guy, I saw him make a, you know, broke up a pass today. And so they feel really good about rolling, you know, maybe six, maybe even seven guys out at safety. So Barry likes his group there. And then there's a lot of talk about the defensive linemen, especially Utsi and Trey Williams, guys that he's coached before.
Just to follow up on what Scotty said, Jaden Johnson, when I saw him in the scrimmages last spring, I was just stunned that a freshman could look like that. I mean, he's the only freshman that I can ever remember looking like that at that position, safety, is Steve Atwater. I mean, just looks like a linebacker. In fact, Sam is and Barry both have said that they're kind of watching to see, you know, does he add another 5 to 10 pounds and he will be a linebacker, because you're just desperate for a guy at outside linebacker that has some cover skills, which he does. But it just kind of points to the options that it gives you in calling defenses that now he's a true freshman. Just don't forget that. And true freshmen can make mistakes at safety, and the word safety means exactly what you think it does. You better be safe back there. And so you kind of carefully bring him along, but it's amazing to see what a physical talent. And I'll say that there's really only one team in this league that consistently puts a guy like that on the field at safety, and it's Alabama. And that's a good sign. And it's also a good sign that Scotty, I love to see the, you know, we go on our forums and every afternoon and evening, and you'll have the three deep. I could never, this point in the season, remember an Arkansas defense that you could say, well, that's three deep. And I wouldn't be scared to play any of those guys that you're putting down there. You know, even at linebacker, a guy like Jackson Woodard, I think is way better at this point in his career than where Arkansas has been at linebacker for the last 5 to 8 years for the third team linebacker, that you could put him in a game.
As promised earlier, here are some sound bites from Barry Odom's time with the media earlier today. It's always a treat when you get to hear from the coordinators, but maybe even a little bit more so since Sam Pittman became the head coach at Arkansas, because the time that you get to visit with the coordinators has become a lot more infrequent. And so this will be one of the few times you actually get to hear from Barry Odom in his capacity as the Razorbacks defensive coordinator.
Anybody that's been able to have a chance to watch us or maybe listen to our team talk has got, hopefully within our organization, they've talked about the experience that we have coming back. And I look at, you know, the program that Coach Pittman is building and put in place, you know, the super seniors that came back, you know, I'm just talking specifically on the defensive side, how valuable that is for us. And because they're, you know, a year older, another year in the system, everyone speaking the same language. And then, you know, our room got older. And with that experience, I wouldn't trade the experience for anything. And not to confuse last year with, you know, having great success. I'm not saying that, but those guys are able to go out and we make a call and they remember the checks within that call. It wasn't day one teaching, just like they had never heard it before. So valuable. And we've able to, you know, throughout the course of, I think today was practice 12, and we've got real competition at a lot of spots. And, you know, we got to get that kind of narrowed down here in the next few days as we get in preparation for Rice. But I'm excited about the leadership that we have, not only in the senior class, but the guys that have now been in the program for a year.
Up there in the team periods that we've seen, the fastball starts, you guys have been fast and aggressive on defense. I'm just wondering, has that carried out through the practices? Is that what you're seeing?
No, I think, you know, Kendall and the offensive staff, they've got our number plenty of times as well throughout practice. And, you know, there's a lot of talented guys on that side of the ball that we're having to defend. I think the urgency on how you start practice really can set the tone on how you're going to carry out throughout the day. And that's something that we realized as a staff. I mean, we've got to get off to a fast start. There were times last year that we didn't. So you always work on things that you need to get better on. And that was one of us for our entire program on getting started fast. So, you know, there's times offensively that we're going to see throughout the year, the different pace of play, you know, whether it's, you know, extra tempo or, you know, the different things that go along with that. So I think it's been great for us, and we'll continue to work that. And hopefully once we see that in the real arena, it won't be a surprise for us.
Sorry to take you back to last year too, but overall thoughts from defense from last year, you set the template for a couple of teams, and then there's a couple of games you didn't finish very well. What did you think last year overall?
Well, I thought that there were times that we did some really good things defensively. There are also times that we were, you know, I didn't do a good enough job on getting us in position to win the close game. You know, we really, there's three games that will forever stick out in not being able to finish those games when we had an opportunity to do it. So that's growing in how you coach, how you teach, how you learn, and then how you ultimately go execute. So, you know, those things are teachable moments, and we try to continue to move the bar forward. And you know, those are situations that you can spend time in the off season. You know, there's always a reason why. And so you try to get those answers and then put them into play.
And just real quick, the year two under Sam, how are y'all better? And why are y'all better this year?
I think, you know, we're better because we've got a wonderful head coach that lays out a plan for us to go execute. And there's not any gray area on what it should look like, what it should be. He's a tremendous leader. He cares so much for our student athletes, and we're able to grow and be ourselves in this program. And our kids understand the openness, the honesty, and the transparency that he has, and ultimately what is important to our team and our program on how to go play. And our guys have bought into that. They're hungry to be good, and they're hungry to have success. We're excited about 16 days out on having an opportunity to go kick it off.
Clay, one of the things that Barry Odom said today was that the physicality of the practice was as good as it has been to this point in the preseason. At what point do you think they start scaling back from a physical standpoint and start getting ready for that season opener?
Yeah, well, there's Matt. That's a good question. And one of the things that you have to understand when you talk about practice and physicality, the offensive line and the defensive line, they don't scale back. They hit every single practice, every single day. And that's where you get the toughness of your team. And so that portion of practice, that won't go away. But what you will see go away is live tackling or live contact with backs, receivers, defensive backs, you know, open field stuff, you know, that, and maybe you scale back, maybe, you know, the middle drills a little bit. But I think physicality will stay in the practices probably for another, you know, 7, 8, 10 days. The Tuesday of Rice Week, which is, gosh, it's creeping up on us pretty quick, is coming. But you know, I think that, you know, there's going to be 3 to 4 days every week, even during the season, the first half of the season, especially, where the offensive and defensive line, and they engage, and it is physical. And I think that's what makes for a tough team, and I think it's what makes Sam Pittman, you know, the right coach for where Arkansas wants to go.
Yeah. And Scotty, to me, when you hear Odom, you know, say something like that, it carries weight, because I think back to his Missouri teams, it seemed like those were always some of the most physical games that Arkansas would play when he was the coach there.
Yeah, for sure. I think Clay hit it on the head. I think they wanted to, you know, you have your first scrimmage and then you kind of see how you come out of that. And I think there were several guys that were banged up, dinged up, whatever, however you want to call it. A guy like AJ Green, he got back today. He missed, I think, the first 3 days of the week. Deion Edwards came back on Wednesday. So you're getting some guys back. Traylon Smith still isn't back. And I think TJ Hammonds has been out. But I think they wanted to get really physical today, just kind of just rehash some of the things that maybe they've, you know, been harping on, you know, since the scrimmage. And then I think they want to get, obviously you got to get through Saturday scrimmage too. I think that's probably going to be another day where you really, really go at it, and could be one of those days where some of those position battles are maybe, I don't know if settled, but you could have maybe a clear front runner or a good idea in mind of who might start where. I think we're already starting to figure out some of those, especially like left guard. I think Brady Latham may have a leg up there. But, you know, just like right tackle, that's another spot that I think you've got to get nailed down, especially your depth there. I saw Dalton Wagner today. He's, you know, he's been battling a little bit. Seems like with his back, he's been wearing a wrap on his back, and you know, he got some extra stretching today. Tyquase Crawford came up, and then Marcus Henderson was behind him. So there's some things to still sort out. And I think the only way you can do that is to just got to get after it and, you know, get pretty physical.
That right tackle spot, I think that is a crucial area of this team to watch over the next really month, you know, in, will they be able to make an anchor point and hold up in pass protection? And will they be able to run their, your right-handed team an awful lot with a right-handed quarterback? And watch out for Crawford. If Dalton doesn't have a good start, I think you'll see him jump in there. I know that's a guy that Sam Pittman is fascinated with, a 350-pounder with quick feet that can do some things. And you just got to make sure that he knows the offense and knows everything and, you know, doesn't blow protections. But I would say that's a position. And Scotty, I know you've been carefully monitoring how they shuffled those. Marcus Henderson too, they're trying to figure out is, you know, where they're going to go at that position. And will Dalton Wagner hold these two young guys off?
Wanted to follow up on something that you talked about yesterday, Scotty, and that's that the running backs have been, you know, in and out for most of this week. I know AJ Green was back today, I think in a no contact jersey. Traylon Smith still not there, but based on what we've heard, we don't think this is serious with Traylon Smith, that, you know, this isn't something that's going to make him miss game time.
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, from what we've been told, you know, I think Traylon's going to be fine. And I think it's just, it's another instance of, you know, maybe he did get a little bit dinged up in the scrimmage, but now that he has, you're taking those precautions, you know, just kind of like a Trey Knox and Treylon Burks. There's no need to push it with him. You know what you've got with him. He produced, you know, when it mattered last year. So, you know, he's a guy that, that can. I think it's just, it's opened the door for Raheem Sanders to really, I think, lock up that, that number two spot at tailback. That kid is so impressive physically. He's just, he's got a burst that, you know, it's kind of stunning when you watch it. Like even when he's got the ball in his hands, catching out of the backfield, ball hits his hands and he's ready to make a move instantly. And I think he'll be a pretty good guy to run between the tackles too. Cause I don't, you know, you'd like to get Treylon Smith, you know, more outside than between the tackles. But I think Raheem Sanders can give you some of both too. And just at a bigger body. And I think it's a big deal that AJ Green came back. I'm high on that kid. Comes from obviously a good background in Oklahoma. Track speed, another guy with track speed, and he's built pretty well. He's got a good foundation, got some good looking legs on him.
For a true freshman, like the three guys that we know are kind of vying for that backup spot along with Josh Oglesby, I think it's huge to make sure that AJ is out there for camp when they're doing all this installation. And I wondered when we got into maybe the second, third week of camp that you'd see some separation with Rocket Sanders because he had spring ball. And I think that is just hard to quantify what an advantage that he had on those other freshman backs that, you know, that this is just an accelerated learning because it's the second time that he's been through all this. And when I say second time, he had all of the winter, all of the learning, all of spring. And I expected him to be advanced. And maybe that's starting to click in a little bit, Scotty.
For sure. On the offensive side, he is as physically impressive as Jaden Johnson is at safety. And that's what you want. You want more guys that are talented and look like that and look like they can, you know, withstand, you know, the hits and the contact and the physicality that the SEC is going to bring. I think those two guys are fit for it. And Sam Pittman, you know, we talked about it a lot. Sam said that the number two back is going to be talked about a lot. I'm getting ready to be talking about Rocket a lot this fall.
The Whole Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by Bud Anderson Home Services. Each day this week, we're going to continue our position analysis. Today, it'll be the defensive line. We have spent a lot of time during the preseason talking about the defensive line, in particular, these three transfers who have come in, Markell Utsi and Trey Williams from Missouri and John Ridgeway from Illinois State. And Scotty, I thought it was interesting to hear Barry Odom talk about Utsi and Williams today. Obviously, he recruited them to Missouri and coached them at Missouri. And he made some comments that I thought were interesting that were basically to the point that because they have played within his system in the past, they are picking things up quicker than maybe other players who have transferred in.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. And part of that is, you know, the things that Barry is teaching this defense and some of these, and obviously the rest of the defense, like it's a variation of what he taught at Missouri. And those guys picked up on it really quick because, you know, first time we saw Arkansas go through some teamwork, all three of those transfer guys were running with the third team, and you didn't figure that they were going to stay there very long, but just the fact that, you know, they've got a better than base knowledge of what Barry wants to do with his front, just having played with them before, you know, the next time we saw them, they were running with the twos. And then the next time we saw them, they were running with the ones, and they basically stuck there ever since. And Trey Williams has been getting a lot of pub in this preseason. He's just a twitchy guy on the edge that, you know, Barry Odom gave him a lot of credit today that, you know, maybe when he was coaching Trey Williams at Missouri, he was a third down specialist edge rusher. And now he's turned himself into a guy who can play on every down. And that's going to bode well for his future. You know, if he continues to play past this year, which all indications are that, you know, he's, you know, due for a good, pretty good year based on the camp he's having. And Utsi's just, he's a guy that he's been around a long time, and Barry Odom said that he understands leverage. And that, as we talked about the other day, talking about John Ridgeway a little bit, Utsi understands that. And, you know, he's got a good base, pretty strong, and offensive linemen have called him, you know, pretty violent. So I think Arkansas has got a couple of gems in those former Missouri guys.
You know, with those two players you mentioned from Missouri, and then you add in Dorian Gerald, Mateo Soli, Eric Gregory, Zach Williams, Isaiah Nichols, Clay, I think you've got to go back maybe 5, 6, 7 years since I remember a defensive line with as much SEC experience as this group has collectively for the Razorbacks.
Yeah, I think you're right, Matt. I think you can go back to some of those years and might have found more quality. You know, maybe some SEC, all SEC guys, where you had, you know, somebody like Trey Flowers that you knew what his talent was for a couple of years. But yeah, I think this is correct. One thing that I think we'll really see this year that we didn't last year, and I think if you remember when Sam introduced Barry and said that his reasons for hiring him was that the front was really tough to anchor down when you tried to block them, that they had movement at the snap, they stemmed, they slid. And to do that, you've got to know several techniques all across the front. So sometimes you're when you're sliding from, say, opposite a tackle to a guard, those three linemen or four linemen, they have to know all of the techniques in that scheme to be able to stem and move. I think that's where you'll see the big difference. And maybe some people are going to be expecting more blitzing, but they may see more movement up front just after the snap. And that really is perplexing to offensive linemen.
And it's probably been that era since, you know, Trey Flowers, Dietrich Wise, since Arkansas's had a really good pass rush. Scotty, Clay, do you think that there's someone on this team that could become a good pass rusher?
Yeah, I'll tell you the guy that I expect to lift his game, and it's Dorian Gerald, and then maybe Zach Williams beyond that, because I think of the speed. And then Eric Gregory is a guy that I think can maybe get some pass rush inside. You know, they have really cross-trained him at end and tackle, and I think you use his speed and size and agility, you might see something out of him inside that maybe you didn't see outside. But yeah, I think there'll be more pass rush in this bunch of guys.
Yeah, I expect to see Dorian Gerald get into the backfield a little bit more this year. But if I had to pick a guy, it'd probably be Zach Williams too. He's a guy that, you know, Joe Fouché and Simeon Blair today were asked specifically about Zach Williams. And they joked that when Zach first got here, they said that he kind of looked like a safety. But you looked at him this spring, and, you know, on days that they're not wearing shoulder pads, you know, their arms really pop. And Zach's weight gain, his strength gain was really, really obvious and evident. It was clear that, you know, he used that time between the last game last year in the spring to really work on his body, but not lose any of his quickness and that quick twitch. So I would put some money down that Zach Williams is going to be a guy that, you know, can really help out at end. And right now he's playing, you know, right behind Trey Williams. So I think that's a pretty solid 1-2 punch on the edge.
Yeah, the last thing I would add to all of that, as far as getting more pressure, all of these guys are going to play fewer snaps. They're going to be able to rotate and keep guys fresh. And that's the huge thing. If you remember the fourth quarter against Missouri, the fourth quarter against LSU, I think if they had some fresh dudes, and this what these guys are, dudes, that's a different fourth quarter in both of those games. I think it's something to look forward to this season.
And so much of pass rush is predicated too on what you can do in the secondary, and they've got more experience in the secondary too. And I feel like that might help as well.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt about that. Like Joe Fouché was talking about the defensive line, and I think he's quickly fallen in love with that bunch, because that means he's got, you know, if the pass rush is strong and they get to their mark, that means Joe's only got to cover in the back end for two and a half seconds maybe. And then, you know, that frees him up to go make plays on the ball. And Barry Odom said that probably nobody on the defensive side of the ball has been making more plays this fall than Joe Fouché. I know we're not talking about secondary guys, but Joe's a guy that you could see make a leap too. But it all does start with those frontline guys.
It all works together. Scotty, one more thing that Barry Odom said that I thought was interesting, and it goes back to one of those transfers, Trey Williams, is that he said that he's more of an every down player than he remembers him being at Missouri.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, that's just going to make him more valuable. And, you know, like I said, like Zach Williams is a guy that I expect a lot out of this year. And so that in turn is going to make Trey probably push harder. Like that I think it would be fair to say that Trey Williams is probably your top edge rusher right now, but Zach Williams is going to keep applying pressure. But you're right. Like I don't remember the last time that we went through a preseason and there was so much talk about an edge rusher and a guy that could, you know, maybe consistently get into the backfield and cause some real problems. But Trey's, you know, I think he's 6'3", 6'4", about 255, 260. Like he's a problem for tackles to deal with. And you know, Sam Pittman said that after the first scrimmage that, you know, he had three guys at Georgia in his last 2 years there that also had problems, you know, when they were matched up with Trey Williams. And now Myron Cunningham is getting some of that work now. And so that in turn, I think is just going to make Myron better. But yeah, Trey's certainly a guy to watch out for.
Clay, this will be the last time we talk to you before the scrimmage on Saturday. It's going to be closed to the public and media again. But when you hear Sam Pittman talk after the scrimmage Saturday, what are some of the things you think that you're going to want to hear from him based on the reports that we got from the scrimmage last week?
Yeah, I think just a continued progress of they know who their starters are more than likely. The continued progress of some of the freshmen, because that now you'll start to say, okay, this is my travel roster. These are the guys that are going to play on special teams. You know, you've got to get to a number. And so this is where you find out, okay, we've given the newcomers, and I'm not talking about the three defensive line guys, but wide receivers, defensive backs, and, you know, we've given them a heavy dose, and what do they know and do we trust them? And I think that's what they're trying to find out Saturday. I know what everybody wants to know about, and that's quarterbacks and how sharp they are. But that will continue to get polished. They've got to decide. I mean, they're not going to change quarterbacks from KJ Jefferson. They've got to decide really who's going to get the work with first team, second team, and nobody wants to hear this, are you a scout teamer? I mean, who's going to the scout team? Because you're going to really hone in on the first team and second team. And I think he probably won't answer those questions. He'll say, we want to look at the film, and we're going to take a lot of time to really review everything that we've got on tape. I've always said that Sunday after the first or the second scrimmage is when you do make the decisions. All right, these are the guys that we're going to go to battle with. So, but that's what he's thinking. He may not say that Saturday afternoon.
We'll have one more podcast before the scrimmage tomorrow. Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette will join us. Hope you join us then as well. Until then, go visit us at wholehogsports.com for the latest from the Razorbacks preseason practice. For Clay Henry and Scotty Bordelon, I'm Matt Jones. We appreciate you joining us.
The proceeding has been a production of wholehogsports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at wholehogsports.com for the latest news and commentary.